and welcome to Ask the Mayor. I'm WFIU News Director Will Murphy, and our guest this afternoon is Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. He's here to answer any questions you might have about city issues in the Columbus area. The phone number is to call to speak with Mayor Armstrong, toll-free 877-285-9348. 855-0811 is the number in Bloomington. And if you prefer, you can send an email. The address is mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone numbers are toll-free, 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, 855-0811. And the email address is mayor@indiana.edu. Mayor Armstrong, thank you, as always, for joining us.
Thank you, Will, for having me.
A lot of things to talk about today. It seems to me the place to start off with is the visit from the governor today to talk about an economic development announcement. What was the word at 10:30 this morning, 9:30 this morning?
Well, the governor will be here actually tomorrow morning.
My apologies. I'm sorry.
That's okay. But with PMG, a local company that is expanding, bringing additional jobs to Columbus, and it's a great company. Filled with really great employees, and I'm just thrilled that they decided to make the investment in Columbus because, as you well know, today companies can go about any place they want to go, and it's not necessarily one of those things that they'll stick with you. It's what have you done for me lately? But this company, it's not what have you done for me lately. It's here's what we have. Here's what we want to do. How can we partner together to get this done? And that's what happened. And they're just great to work with, and we're pleased that they'll be bringing in new jobs, a larger facility. And we just hope it continues in that direction. But as you well know, you never know. But this one here is a good one, and we're pleased that the governor will be here to discuss how the state helped and how the city helped and actually how the company helped themselves.
Can we talk about specifics at all, or do we have to wait for tomorrow?
Well, I would say we better wait for tomorrow. We don't want to ding the governor.
This is true.
But as far as our show is tax abatement is all we're putting in. But we're also doing something that will help hopefully all of our companies, and that's the Dream It, Do It program that we've talked about before. And trying to find employees seems like it's getting tougher and tougher. And we discussed just a few minutes ago about the company, community north of us there, that has lost, potentially going to lose 400 jobs. I'm sure there are opportunities for them in Columbus if they want to work. But today, as you well know, it takes more than an application. You have to have an education. You have to have some knowledge today in some fields. So that's what we're trying to do, get young people and everybody else educated so they can continue their work and continue the lifelong educational process that will keep them in work.
Now, what is PMG? What's their presence in Columbus right now in terms of employment levels and that kind of thing?
Oh, golly, it's off the top of my head. I think there's like 170 to 190 some employees right now.
And for folks who don't know that company, they're automotive oriented, right?
Correct.
And is this decision or whatever it is that they discuss tomorrow, is it connected to or a result in part of the Greensburg Honda thing?
You'd have to ask them about that. They do have they have some new business. Mm-hmm. That's why they're doing this. But this has also been one that they've worked on for some time, and we've been there right with them. But I would guess, if I had to guess, yes, it probably will have, or they're hoping it will have. But that's my guess, because what we're seeing in Columbus currently are companies that are ramping up, and maybe not by, 100 employees or even 50 employees, but ramping up a bit because of the potentiality, or they are being able to do business currently with Honda at some locations. So, I think Honda is going to really make a big difference. I know there's critics out there that'll say, oh, it won't. But we've already seen some help in that particular area, and we've seen new people moving into the community. So I think it's not going to stand. Nobody's going to stand up on a soapbox with a flag and say, "Hey, we're here because of Honda, and we're glad we are." I don't think that'll happen, but you'll just see it. And then again, with the Cummins opening, that's going to be another positive. And again, the people from Edinburgh, there's another opportunity for them for employment, good-paying jobs in the manufacturing arena.
It's hard to believe. I mean, if it's hard not to believe if they got 30,000 applications and they're covering a 20-county area for hiring, that it's not going to have some kind of effect in Columbus with this Honda plan.
It will have some effect. There's no doubt, but. I also know, this is my opinion, by the way, nobody else's. When we've already heard, well, the effect that we'll be losing people in Columbus to go to Honda, and we may. I would say we will, but we have companies here that if they treat their employees the way they should be treated, you know, with wages that are livable wages and there's decent benefits, I think they're going to be happy. Again, some of these people are key people that they may go away because that's just what they do every 4 or 5 years. But I think for the most part, Honda and Cummins both will be able to pick up some qualified workforce and people who have been in the manufacturing arena from some of these jobs at Edinburgh and some of these other surrounding cities that have had some difficulties.
You referenced the Lear plant in Edinburgh with, what, 400-some jobs that they're going to lose when that shuts down. When it closes next year. Mm-hmm. What kind of ripple effect does that have in a community like Columbus?
Well, there's people who live here that work there, and it is upsetting. It concerns me, even though it's something I have no control over. It does bother me because Lear does business with other companies in and around Columbus. And, you know, you take packaging or you take anything, that there's going to be an effect. 400 jobs, a lot of jobs. So it will have some, I'm guessing, some effect on Columbus. We won't know that for a while, but I'm guessing with our economic development, people will be talking to them and, you know, seeing what we can do to help them and their employees. And, you know, we're neighbors. Why not be neighborly and see what we can do?
Now, of course, a lot of times plants and companies will advise communities in the state when they're anticipating a major employment shutdown. And they have a state acronym that I can't remember the name of right now when they have to advise a community of that. When it's in Edinburgh, do they let you know about something like that in advance?
No.
Okay.
No.
I asked just because I know that they're also – I mean, some of those folks might be going to Greencastle because they have a facility there, and I didn't know if you'd gotten any word about where they're going.
No, I haven't had any contact whatsoever. In fact, when I found out about it yesterday was because I was listening to the radio on my way to a meeting, and a lady just happened to mention that it was announced that they were going to be closing. So that's how I found out about it, and then this morning in the local newspaper. So,
right.
You know, fortunately, most of the companies in Columbus that have let's use Arvin Meritor as an example. They let me know a couple of days in advance, hey, this is going to be happening. Just wanted to let you know and give you time, get your thoughts together. But, you know, normally they'll do that. Or if there's any type of a reduction, you know, local companies here have been pretty good about it.
Okay. I'll remind our listeners that we're visiting today, this afternoon, with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. If you'd like to join the program, we have about another 20 minutes of his time. The number in Columbus and outside the Bloomington area, toll-free 877-285-9348. In Bloomington, 855-0811. And if you'd like to drop an email, and we do have an email that we need to get to before the end of the program here,
okay.
The email address is mayor@indiana.edu. Also wanted to ask you, Mayor Armstrong, about this a walk and talk session
that you've been
doing the past week or so. What, you started that late September.
Uh-huh.
What's been going on? Maybe you can explain a little bit the thinking behind what's been going on, what you've been doing, and what you've gotten out of it.
Well, it's just amazing. You know, trying to we always try to get to residents in the community, as I've always done. We've always had at least 4 meetings outside of City Hall in the neighborhoods, and we still do that, by the way. In fact, we have one tonight. But I thought, you know, maybe residents don't come to us as often. If they see us walking, they're thinking, well, who are these crazy people out here? And we've been doing that. We were in our third neighborhood last night, and we've had really good response. The people are out doing their yard or whatever, walking. They're just willing to say hi and talk, and you know, all my department heads are with me or their representatives, and we're just able to try to get things taken care of as they're thinking in their neighborhood what can be done. We write them down, and we try to take care of them. So it's fun just getting out and meeting people. You know, again, as we have our community meetings, we have people come to us. They aren't as busy as they used to be, by the way. But now with this, I think it's helped a lot, and you get to meet new neighbors. In fact, the other night in our first neighborhood, this guy had moved into Columbus a year ago and said, hey, I've never met you, but I've heard something about you. Hey, and we just mentioned all kind of good things that he thought could happen in Columbus, and we wrote them down, and we'll look at them and evaluate them, and maybe some of those things have come to a head. You know, who knows? But, you know, people have great ideas out here. I don't have all the great ideas. I know you find that hard to believe, but, you know, but our community, the people here do, and that's how we try to work on.
Well, let's see. You met in September, if my schedule is correct, here in Oak Brook, East Columbus on Monday, Mead Village on Tuesday.
Yeah.
What have folks been talking about?
Well, basically, it's the things in the neighborhood. One is speeding and reckless driving. They all
not referring to you.
Pardon me?
Not referring to you.
Well,
but
they could be. I don't know. But
okay.
No. They've referred to the driving in the neighborhoods. They've really this is hard to believe. I know you'll find this hard to believe. But they've been very positive about, hey, you know, we know you're doing the new sewage treatment plant. We're really glad that you're doing that. Yes, our rates went up a little bit. But, you know, I'm glad we're moving towards the future. They're thrilled about our Columbus and Bloom group, how it's sprucing up the little things. It's not the real big things, except for the sewage treatment plant. That's a pretty big thing. But most of it is about their neighborhood and cutting trees and trimming trees, things of this nature. But the people have been very pleasant. Now, I don't find that hard to believe. But, you know, they could be, well, let me tell you, you need to do this. But they have just been so cooperative and so nice. And, you know, the other night we had one about it was a street where it's sort of a cul-de-sac, but there was an opening to a church where people could go into the church lot. Well, it was several, many, many years ago they were told that they would close that off, and they haven't yet. So I said, okay, let's look at it. So by guess what? My planning director, engineer, and police chief were right there. So they're looking at it, and they're going to see what they can do to take care of that situation. So,
is that going to be true at all these sessions? And you've got quite a schedule up through October.
Yeah.
You're going to get your nightly exercise here.
Yes, I do.
are you going to have the police chief, all the folks there talking about stuff?
Yeah. I mean, they'll talk
all
about...
All your department heads.
You know what? The department heads are having fun. It's just something very simple. And I'll tell you what happened there, and I'd love to take all the credit. You know, mayors love to do that stuff, but one of my employees out at the garage mentioned to me, hey, Mayor, why don't you do some neighborhood walks? Maybe people won't come to you. You can go to them and bring the department heads. I said, that's a great idea. And that's how we did it. And in fact, he walked with us the first night. So it is. It's just a lot of fun. And sometimes we need to have a little fun in life. And
maybe I ought to do city council meetings like this.
Well, you know, we've done that too, but not lately. We've taken them out into different parts of the city, and but people just can't believe how difficult that is because of you know, you have to have equipment that you can record, and you know, that's hard to take all that stuff out. But
I'm just thinking you ought to like strap a mic on and go walking through the city streets, and folks should be a bit quicker on there, you know. In terms of keeping on schedule, if you weren't all in one room, you'd just have to finish in a half an hour.
Hey, that'd be great.
Just an idea.
Some of those meetings. I may think about that. There you go. There's an idea.
There you go. And now you're going to take a couple of weeks here to catch your breath, and then you're back on the 16th, according to the schedule I have here, meeting downtown at City Hall.
Yep.
And then, what, Tipton Lakes?
Yep.
Presidential Park?
Yep.
Parkside, Fox Point, the airport?
Yep.
So and then so you've got quite a schedule there, and it really is an opportunity for folks to meet with. If they've got a gripe, they can't really say that City Hall isn't available because you're going out in the neighborhoods.
Well, you know, yeah, sure they can gripe. They can still gripe, but that's okay. What you do is actually it's one of those things you think that might be unpleasant because you never know what people are going to do. Like this program, you never who's going to call in and say, "Hey, you crazy old man," you know. But I've just found it to be great. I mean, just good talking to people that you don't get a chance to talk to. And it's just been fun. And some of these people are just, all of them are nice, but they're just special. They just want to say hi, and they want to talk to the department heads, and they want to say thank you. And so, you know, that makes a mayor feel pretty good when citizens are willing to do that. And even though they've got an issue, they do it in a way that, hey, we know you're busy, we know it's going to take a little time, but here's what we'd like for you to consider. So it's done in a way that we all like to do business. We like to be polite, and we still like to see things get accomplished.
So. Nobody's lost their temper yet.
Oh, no. That's no, not thing. Even close to it.
That's good.
So now my wife, maybe, because I haven't been home in the evening, but other than that, that's okay.
Good, have a positive side as well.
That's right.
You mentioned something that I wanted to bring up, and I really didn't – I don't understand the importance that people assign to this necessarily, but it looked like a lot of folks were really devastated by Columbus and Bloom not quite taking away the top prize in the most recent competition.
I was devastated. I can tell you that right now. These people, they worked hard. Over 200 people that volunteered to help us clean up, help us do all this thing, these things, and then we go to Canada and you could see the handwriting on the wall when you got there. You just sort of knew, uh-oh, we're in trouble. And I can't describe it. You just had to be there. But I'm sure these other communities in Canada were great. There's never been a city from the United States to win any of these competitions. And there's still no cities that have won, but there are a lot of Canadian cities that have won.
Columbus came in second, though, right?
So, yeah, Columbus came in second.
That's what I don't understand.
We do appreciate that.
In an international competition, yeah. You come in second. I don't understand how you guys are devastated by that.
Oh, we are. Because you just can't believe all the effort these people have put into. I mean, they just lived it and breathed it and worked so hard and worked extra time. I mean, and they know that it's just perfect, and then, boom, you get. You just sort of, the air goes right out of your sails. But, you know, it was. We learned a lot. It is one of those things, and I'm proud of all the people that did what they did, and let's keep it going. So, in a way, we did win. But we'd like to have the number one prize, like anybody that competes. And there were a lot of competitors, so we had 10 in our category that were competing, and it takes a lot to go through this. So we'll see. We'll see what happens next year, maybe.
So you're going for the gold ring again next year, huh?
I don't know. We're going to look at it. You know, we're going to look at it. I'm not saying we will, but
how do you decide that thing? I mean, is it a public-private partnership?
We have the committee, the Columbus and Bloom committee that, you know, looks at everything and says, hey, you know, what can we do different? And I don't know if they want to do this again next year because it's so much work, but maybe they'll go another route. So who knows? They'll come up with something great for Columbus because they're proud of it, and they're just, again, people that want to make their community look good and just be a little bit different if at all possible.
Now, is this the first time the city had been in that competition, or have you done this repeatedly?
No, this is the first time we've ever been in the international part of it. Now, see, last year was our first time for America in Bloom, the national contest, and we won it. And then this year, in fact, we were encouraged by America in Bloom to get into the Communities in Bloom, which is the international program. And we did it, and it took a lot of time and effort, but, you know, it's one of those things. We didn't win, and daggone it, we should have.
Now, can you tell me what the criteria are and why I got the impression that the final judgment was very close?
It was.
At what the criteria, what the deciding factor was in first versus second?
Here's what I think it was. I don't have that report in front of me, but members of the Visitor Center and Park and Recreation have that report. But from what I understand, we were gigged. Remember, they came in July And, you know, we haven't had any rain. And in an area where we happen to have a lot of trees, you know, 500-600 trees, we had two that appeared to be dying.
Hmm.
And we got gigged on that.
So is Mother Nature working against you there?
So Mother Nature works against us. But in our defense, or not in their defense, actually, not ours, we should have cut them down. But, you know, maybe they weren't quite dead yet, and we want to retrieve these trees if we can. So it's one of those things. It just,
you can't win for losing.
No, you can't win for losing. You can't be too upset over that. But
you saved a tree and came in second, so that's not a bad thing, probably.
Now, I'm sure there was a few other things, but it was very, very minor because the judges actually did state at a dinner one evening that they have never seen a community choreograph so well. I mean, we did. We kept them busy and we kept them going. I mean, we did it right. We have people that just step one, two, three, four, right on down the line, and they did a great job. And that's why I say it took a lot of people, a lot of time to put this effort forth. And they came in second. So,
is there a bias against American cities? You said none had ever won.
I'm not going there, but I could personally tell you. But I'm not going there.
Okay. All right. We'll drop that topic there and move on to next year then.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty. I want to talk briefly. We've got about 7 more minutes of Mayor Armstrong's time. And if you have a comment or question, 877-285-9348 is the toll-free number. In Bloomington, 855-0811. And the email address for a comment or question is mayor@indiana.edu. And just quickly, if we have time, I'd like to talk a little bit about city council and the budget. Looks like it's locked in now, yes?
Yep, locked in. And I think the council did a fine job. We all worked together, which we wish our state people would. Anyway, we did. We worked together, and this is going to be a pretty lean, mean budget, but it's going to be enough that we can continue on with our efforts. And I think the department heads sold what they needed to sell to the council and myself. So it's probably one of the lowest budgets that we've had in many years because we have worked hard in areas like to save money in the healthcare arena. You know, we're trying to get our employees healthier, doing things where that big cost will not go up in the double digits like it has in the past. And, you know, we're looking at ways with the trash pickup that we can be semi-automated and use less people. And instead of hiring additional people, we can go this way without hiring additional people. And we're just looking at different ways with the vehicles today, with the technology, the hybrids. What can we do to help our environment a little bit? So, you know, we're looking at all these things, but the bottom line, it costs money. And it's sort of been touted in the Wall Street Journal, et cetera, that communities that do the infrastructure, the things that you really don't see except for your roads, are ones that are going to benefit immensely. And I think we try to do both. I think I've talked with you before about our the storm sewer issue, the combined storm sewer issue that I went down and looked, and they're just doing a great job on that, one of the first in the state. And our roads are deteriorating because we don't have any more money than we've had 12 years ago, and that's a real problem. But that's one we're going to have to work through. But I think the council did a good job of looking at every item. I know I did before the council got to that point. I never tell them to beef it up because we know you're going to get cut down. Mm-hmm. I always say, you provide me what it takes to operate your department, and that's all I want. I don't want any beef in there. You just tell me what it takes. So,
all righty.
That's how it goes.
All right. There are a lot of questions I'd like to ask you about the budget, but we've got a caller on the line, so let's go there first. Jim is on the line. Thanks for calling, Jim.
Mayor, what's the population of Columbus and Bartholomew County?
Okay, the population is Columbus is 40,000, and then we have roughly 35,000 outside the city limits in the county. So roughly 75,000 population.
Okay, I just hadn't heard about it for a while.
Thank you. Yeah, it's pretty close, about even. So, yeah.
Is that fairly constant? Is it growing at any particular rate?
Oh, it's growing at a steady growth, not a huge jump. We're growing, you know, a couple percent, 3%. You know,
okay.
Just a good steady growth that you can live with. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Jim had a fairly quick question, so it does allow me to ask a quick budget question before we talk about the Reconciliation Day observance, and we want to get to that for sure.
Yeah, sure.
But let me just ask, the city does have to do this $2 million loan thing. And it's kind of surprising as the city does provide a fairly lean budget. How do you explain to folks that the city then has to go out and borrow $2 million?
Well, it's because this is a better way we could catch up. We started this 4 years ago, and these are annual loans. These loans are normally paid back every year, so it's sort of built into our budget, so it doesn't increase our budget any. What it does do, it gets the Parks Department, which we have a world-class Parks Department. We can continue to maintain them with equipment. We can't hire people with that, but we can get equipment and maintain buildings, and it's a huge expense, but we do it, and what we don't spend, we don't have to borrow. So if we only spend $720,000, then we don't have to borrow that much. So, and then the other part, this is the first time we've ever done the $2 million part. We've always just done the one, which most cities are doing today. But the second one is for Millrace Park. We promised them $1.6 million for the project. Here's the million. We've got the $600,000 we've been saving back in another fund. For several years now, we don't spend it, so now we can come up with that other $600,000. So in 1 year, boom, our part's paid for. So you have to think ahead. If you just think, you know, 6 months ahead or 2 years ahead, you're going to go backwards. So we try to look forward and see what we can do without raising the tax rate, without coming up with additional monies, how to do it. So although these sound be additional monies, they're monies that we've asked for the last 4 years, but it's all been for maintenance up until this year, where we did build a fire station with it, and for next year, a Millrace Center.
Okay.
So that's how that operates.
All righty. We've got a couple of minutes left, literally, just a couple of minutes here, and we have somebody writing in saying, please ask Mayor Fred Armstrong to talk about tomorrow, Reconciliation Day observance, October 4th in Columbus and many surrounding communities in the region, including Bloomington, New Albany, Jeffersonville, and Louisville. So let's ask you about it. What are you going to be doing in Columbus as part of Reconciliation Day?
Well, there will be a nice forum tomorrow from 6:30 to 8:30 at Donner Center at 22nd and Sycamore Street. And, you know, this, you can get as fancy as you want to get, but bottom line is, you know, it's nice to say something nice. And that's the way I look at it. You know, why don't we accept others and tell the people what good we see in them instead of what bad we see? And you thank someone. Just thank someone that you love or care for. Golly, a little thank you doesn't hurt anything. And if there are some people out there that you've had some old wounds, what a good time to mend them in one day. So that's what it's about. It's nothing that you have to get dressed up in a three-piece suit and get your hair combed. It's about people, just being around people and caring for one another. Now, I could get into it in all kind of detail, but number one, we don't have the time, but number two, that's all it's about, nothing more than that.
Okay. You mentioned the 6:30 to 8:30 thing, the Conversation Cafe.
Yes.
Which is taking place at Donner Center. But there's also something, according to Chris Lemley, who wrote this email, at Columbus Regional Hospital at noon.
Yes, there is. I'm not a part of that program.
It says you are.
Well, but I'm not going to be doing much. I'm just going to be there, and that's about it.
A goodwill ambassador.
Yeah. I mean, I try to make everything that I can because that's part of being part of the community. But it's one of those things that Chris has done a fine job on this with the help of a lot of people, and I think this is a great thing to do, and it's just about people.
Just wanted to bring in that other activity at noon in case folks wanted to go to that in addition to the thing
it's
at 6:30.
It's in the cafeteria, I believe. So.
Right.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to leave it at that and leave you to make your reconciliations tomorrow, I guess, Mayor Armstrong.
I'll do her.
All righty. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We've been visiting with Columbus Mayor Fred Armstrong. This has been Ask the Mayor. I'm Will Murphy. Join us next week when our guest will be Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Berg. On behalf of producer Colin Bishop and engineer Mike Pashkash. I'm Will Murphy. Thanks for listening.